And
oh my God, let's do this.
Hell, I Suck at Dating with Dean, Vanessa, and Jared, an iHeartRadio podcast.
Hello, hello, everyone. Thank you so much for joining us for another episode of Help, I Suck at Dating. That's Vanessa beatboxing in the background, joined in studio by Jared Easton and Erica, the usual suspects today. Very special episode for you. We're going to talk a little bit about what Jared and Ashley were arguing about all last night for a few hours.
Not arguing, having an adult conversation about.
We also have a very special guest joining us by the name of Taylor Nolan. You know her from Bachelor in Paradise. Yep, Vanessa's bestie from her season. And we're going to take some emails later on as well.
Yeah, absolutely. It should be a pretty good show. But we figured we'd jump right in to a discussion that I actually posted on the Help I Suck at Dating Facebook group, which a lot of people voted on. Thank you for doing that. So I asked the question, guys, is leading someone on the same as giving someone mixed signals? And the reason I thought about this, because I was watching Colton and Tia and their saga that continues to go on Bachelor in Paradise, and a lot of people are accusing Colton of leading Tia on, and I couldn't disagree more. Vanessa, what are your thoughts? Is leading someone on the same as giving them mixed signals, or are they two different things?
Okay. If we're basing this off of Bachelor in Paradise, I'm probably going to get made fun of. Remember when they were roasting me last time? They're like, Vanessa never watches anything Bachelor-related. Well, I'm not up to date with Bachelor in Paradise.
A round of applause.
Ooh, Vanessa's watching TV again.
Yeah. No, I said I'm not.
Oh.
I said I'm not updated.
Oh, no.
We rescind that round of applause.
Well, listen, I just got a new place. So if anyone wants to buy me a house, I need a TV. All right, moving on. Leading someone on versus sending mixed signals. I think it's the same bullshit.
Wow.
It's the exact same thing.
We're dropping BS bombs, too. That's
Damn,
how passionate
Vanessa's
we feel about
in
it.
Hot right now. Well, Vanessa, you have the backing of our friends over at the Facebook group because 83% of you said that leading someone on is the same as mixed signals.
No, I disagree.
So do I.
I would like to know if the 83% are female voters.
I'm sure they're mostly female voters.
I would imagine.
Yes.
Okay. Well, this is my take on it. I know we were kind of discussing this last night and someone was like, yeah, but that's the whole point of dating. I think that if you are, we're at an age, I mean, I'm a little bit older. I just figured out that I'm the oldest in the studio right now. So we're at an age where if you know you're into someone, you're going to treat them in a respectful manner where you're not going to dive in deep into sending them these signals of like, oh my God, I want to be with you. Oh my God, I want to seriously date you monogamously. And then 2 months, 3 months down the line, that's not where your head is anymore. If you know that's not where your head is at, then you shouldn't be sending those signals at the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
You should, you know what I mean? So I think leading someone on and sending, it's the same thing.
Yeah.
It's the same poop, I'm sorry. It's the same poop.
I mean, I understand where you're coming from, but having said that, I think, listen, leading someone on is with the intent of pretty much lying to them. Where sending mixed signals, I think, is someone being honest and saying, hey, I'm confused right now.
See, I think you're... Okay, sorry.
No, go. Continue. I want to hear your thoughts. Jump in. Let's go.
I think they're so completely different. It's not even... They don't even compare.
Go.
In the sense that leading someone on is you're intentionally kind of keeping them on a string, maybe going out of your way to do romantic gestures or things for them.
The same thing.
No, Vanessa, let me finish, please. Will you please not interrupt me while I'm trying to? flip side of that, on the contrary, sending mixed signals is something that I'm guilty of. I've done that before.
Same.
Solely because I'm not going out of my way to do romantic gestures, but I think inherently I'm an affectionate person, and sometimes that affection can come across as showing interest. And so what I'm saying, the difference is sending mixed signals and leading someone on are so different because you can be kind to someone and that person is going to perceive those actions and that kindness as affection, while leading someone on is like sending them flowers or taking them out to dinner, that kind of thing.
And I think that leading someone on is and it's literally leading them to believe that there's a relationship at the end of this when you know there isn't.
And that is sending it's the same thing as sending a mixed signal.
No, but sending
talking about affection, that's one thing. Hold on. If you're talking about affection, that's one thing. But if you're sending, and we spoke about this on the podcast last week, Dean, I forget what the terminology is, but if you're sending someone a text message,
red crumbing,
or last thing at night, or like a sweet message of like, I'm thinking about you, or just something that makes the other person assume that you're into them, that is leading someone on.
Absolutely. But that's also not sending mixed signals. That's the definition of leading them on, not mixing signals. That's the difference. Is that's one thing. You're absolutely right.
If you're peeping Tom and you're sending a message one day and then you're not, and then you are, and then you're not, and then you are, and then you're not.
Yeah, but what I'm saying,
mixed signals.
Yeah, but mixed signals is also being honest about your confusion. For example, Vanessa, if somebody came up to you and said,
if
hey,
you're
I
honest,
really
that's
like.
Another thing, though.
Listen, I would rather have somebody be honest about their confusion rather than lie about their decisiveness and then find out that they were never really interested in having a relationship at the end of the road. For example, I think that giving mixed signals, like Dean said, is doing romantic things. Having said that, being honest and saying, I'm confused about my feelings. I'm not sure where to go from here. But like, I like you. I like you in my life, but I'm not sure if this is going to be a long-term thing. I feel that's sending mixed signals because you're doing one thing but also saying another. Having said that, leading someone on would be like, I want a relationship with you. I want to end up with you. And then he knows all the while he's just using you and he's saying these things just to get you in bed.
See, well, I think if you're being honest, if you're communicating your thoughts and saying, I'm not sure if I want to be with you, that's a whole other conversation. If you remove the honesty aspect of it, and someone is just sending you the wrong signals and the wrong text messages at the right time, actually the right text messages at the right time, but they're just bored and they need like validation from another person, then that's leading someone on.
Yeah, but I also...
But if you're being honest... If you're being honest about it, then it's two different things. Yes, I agree with you.
Yeah, but I think the difference lies in that mixed signals is honesty. I don't know, for me, for example, like if I call back on my own past, yes, I did romantic things for Ashley and I wanted her in my life because I really cared about her. But at the same time, I was also saying like, I think we should be friends. And I was also lying to that extent because I was more confused than I was leading on. But I just always thought it'd be better to say, let's just be friends because it's unfair for me to be 1 foot in, 1 foot out.
So were you leading her on or were you sending her mixed signals?
I was sending her mixed signals. I was never leading her on. And that's what always makes me mad is that Ashley once said that you led me on. I was like, no, I did not. I was never lying to you.
I'm going to have to agree with Ashley. I think you were leading her on.
How? Go.
Yeah.
Because you were, like you said, you were doing romantic things for her. That's leading her to believe that you're interested in having a relationship for her. I'm not saying that you lied about anything or anything like that. I just, the way that I look at them is leading someone on is someone thinks there should be a relationship and the other person doesn't. While sending mixed signals is, the relationship's removed from it. It's just like you're being a kind, affectionate person for whatever reason. Like, maybe that's just who you are. Because you are. Jared, you are a very kind and affectionate person. But if you're going out of your way to like set up these romantic things for her and like make her feel like she has a glimmer of hope to like date you, that's leading someone on.
So are you saying that you led on both Christina and Danielle?
Wow, shots are being fired here today.
I'm just saying, if you are describing that exact explanation of me with Ashley, then you have to say it about yourself.
But I dated both of them.
Yeah, but I'm really engaged to Ashley.
Okay, rub it in my face a little bit more.
No, I don't mean it in that way, but like if you're putting on the date aspect.
I think that you did lead her on. I'm very, very happy that you two were able to lead into this engagement together. Of course, you guys are my favorite couple of all time. I think that like I said earlier, I'm good at sending mixed signals. Good, obviously, being a relative term. I do send mixed signals because I want to love everyone and I want everyone to love me back. And by doing that, it sets someone up to be like, okay, like he's interested in me, even though the interest isn't maybe quite as high as it is.
Totally. But I was even going to back you up because I think back upon The Last Paradise and I say that Dean wasn't leading on Christina. Dean wasn't leading on D'Lo. He gave them mixed signals because he was confused, but you're always honest in your confusion. For example, like Chris is about to be called out tonight, apparently on Bachelor in Paradise, for leading Tia on because he said,
Chris,
hey,
who?
This guy, he's on Bachelor in Paradise. It's a long
story.
He's
the worst. He's the worst.
But he pretty much told Tia, I only want to be with you. And then he went to go and kiss Crystal.
It's
he
so
was
bad.
Leading Tia on compared to Colton, who was like, yes, I do like you, but I'm confused about my feelings.
Yes.
And so he was doing nice things, but also saying he didn't want to be in a relationship. So he was sending mixed signals while Chris was leading Tia on.
Okay, can I chime in?
Yes, please. Please, Vanessa, please.
So I think, let's say, hypothetical situation, I'm going to put Dean and I in this, okay? So let's say Dean's in love with me. So I know that Dean's in love with me, and I take advantage of the fact that I'm getting attention from him, and I kind of want it, and I like it, so I'm going to send him those signals that make him assume that I, too, am into him.
Now, here's the question.
But that's also because, like,
that's you leading me on, I think.
Well, here's the question for you, Vanessa. If this was true, are you into Dean? Could you possibly think that there was a relationship between you and Dean in the future? Or do you know right now that there's no possibility of you guys ending up together?
I think, well, in our hypothetical situation, I think it, I mean, it depends. It depends where, it always depends on what, okay, what happens is there's two people that have two different expectations on relationships and on dating. I'm the type of person that's like, well, if I'm going to give someone attention, it's because I actually really like them. Uh-huh. I'm not going to call a guy. I'm not going to kiss a guy. Or I'm not going to sleep with someone if I'm not 100% into them.
Right.
So I assume if the guy is texting me or if the guy wants to kiss me or hold my hand in public, it's because he's 100% into me as well.
Sure.
And then if he's not, I get confused. I'm like, what the f***? Why were you leading me on? Why were you sending me big signals if you were doing everything that in my book describes a person who's really into me would do?
Yes, but I think you're taking out the part
on what the person's definition. But it depends on what the person's definition is of, like, listen, if I was someone that would be, if I were to go on Paradise, I think I'd be like, ah, kiss, sarah, sarah. You know, I don't think I'd be buying for one specific person because it seems to me like everyone on Paradise just kind of enjoys their time getting to know multiple people. It's not like being on the Bachelor franchise.
Totally.
You're buying for one person.
And that's totally fine. But I think what the part that you're taking out when you're describing that one relationship, or like hypothetically speaking, that one relationship, you're taking out the conversations that you guys have. And if he was saying, listen, I'm confused about where we're going and I'm still open to dating other people, then I think he's sending you mixed signals. But if he's telling you, hey, I think we can end up in a relationship together, in actuality, he's just lying because, you know, he wants something else from you, then I think that's leading someone on.
I see your point. I think that makes sense.
I don't know.
Yeah, I get that. I'm just saying, if you didn't have that conversation and if you're not at that stage in the relationship yet, but everything else leads you to believe that you are monogamous and that you are committed to each other, and, you know, before you have that conversation. Because there are certain, like, relationships that you can be in, and you kind of put the puzzle pieces together, and it's like, yeah, I don't have to be asking this question right now and poke holes in the relationship and, like, get the, you know, suck the magic out of the first couple of months in it.
I think
so. You kind of assume and make your own assumption.
Absolutely. I think Jared kind of sold me on his thought process, because what we've seen a lot, especially in Bachelor in Paradise this year. Well, and let me defend it for a second, because I feel like what we've seen a lot of in Bachelor in Paradise this year, almost at every turn, is guys saying what they need to say in order to keep a girl on the line. Like, you see Chris talking to Tia to make her feel comfortable, and then he goes and does something completely different. That's that level of dishonesty, I think, is the foundation of leading someone on. Mm-hmm. Versus mixed signals is like, it's an authentic tear between of not really knowing what to do sort of thing. So I understand where you're coming from. I'm sorry if me saying that you let Ashley on came across as me calling you a liar or anything like that, because you're not.
Dean, it did not at all. We're okay. Talking here.
Okay.
I love it. I love having discussions like this where people are in two different points, like trying to argue two different points.
Right. You want to know whose point I think we should take into account is Taylor's.
I totally agree.
Can we get her in here real quick?
While Taylor is coming in here, I have something very special that I want to talk about, because I don't know if you guys... Are you guys big Lionel Richie's fans?
Oh, my God. Tiny Dancer?
Yes. Oh, God. Here we go. Do you want to tell him or do I want to tell him? I'm more of like an endless love kind of guy, or All Night Long. The cool thing is, guys, listen. All Night Long is one of my favorite. Also, Endless Love, Happy Gilmore. Please tell me you guys know what I'm talking about over here. Lionel Richie's All the Hits Las Vegas residency has returned to Zappos Theater at Planet Hollywood. Guys, it's after an amazing 3-year run. The final 16 dates of Lionel's All the Hits Vegas residency will be this August and October. Guys, I'm going. I'm super excited to listen to Lionel Richie live.
I'm going
to
be there.
You're going to be there. We're going to hang out. We're going to hold hands. We're going to listen to Endless Love together.
We're going to send each other mixed signals.
It's going to be amazing. Maybe I'll lead you on and you send me mixed signals. All right. Guys, tickets, VIP tables, and meet and greets are available at Ticketmaster.com for Lionel Richie's All the Hits Las Vegas residency. Check it out at the Zappos Theater this August and October at Planet Hollywood.
Check them out. I'm pumped.
Boom. We have a very special guest in studio. Taylor, how do you say your last name? I'm so sorry.
Nolan.
Nolan is here, ladies and gentlemen. Yay!
What's wrong with you?
So
not a complicated
wrong
last name.
I completely blanked because I am an idiot if you haven't recognized by now. Taylor, thank you so much for joining us.
Yeah, thanks for having me. Baby.
Taylor, we want your input on this real quick.
Yeah.
Leading someone on versus sending mixed signals. Quick 1 minute thoughts on what the differences could be between the two of them.
Or do you think they're the same?
At first, my gut, I would say that they're very different. Leading someone on, you are giving them signs that you're interested, and maybe you're just like withholding a little bit. Whereas mixed signals is like you're very hot and cold.
Okay.
Interesting.
Like mixed signals is like you're definitely going for it, you're pursuing it, but then you're also like acting completely disinterested. Whereas leading someone on, I feel like the opposite is kind of lacking.
You're acting interested when you're really not.
Yeah.
Kinda.
Yeah.
Okay, I got that. I like that. I like that aspect.
I agree. I think that's nailed it right on the head.
Okay. Yeah. Perfect.
Side with me. Were you not listening?
No.
I don't think she was.
No.
Vanessa had the other side to it.
I'm sorry, girl. I would have had your back.
So, Vanessa, do you want to take it? Because you and Taylor obviously have a strong friendship from your time on the season together, and I think you guys have hung out quite a bit postseason as well, right?
Yeah. Yep. Yeah.
Yeah, we're going to be with each other.
We were just on the phone right before she got in.
Aw.
Yep, we were FaceTiming before this, and then we're going to be together at a conference here soon together, too. So.
I forgot about that. Yep, just in a couple weeks.
Yeah, so excited to see you.
Sweet, thanks for the invite, guys. All right, well, Vanessa, what kind of questions do you want to lead off with Taylor? Because obviously we have a lot to cover.
Whoa, okay.
Well, I'm just saying, you guys are like besties. It's mostly appropriate for you to be asking the
questions. And just to give a little background, I don't think anybody needs it, but Taylor, you were obviously on Nick's season of The Bachelor, and then you went on Bachelor in Paradise last year with Dean, and then you were engaged to Derek.
Correct.
Which has recently ended. I'm sorry to hear about that.
Correct.
Just to give our audience a little background on Taylor, you probably already know her. You also have a podcast.
I do. It's called Let's Talk About It with Taylor Nolan.
Perfect. Let's Talk About It. I love the name of that. And so, Vanessa, go. What questions you got for Taylor?
Oh, well, actually, Taylor and I was on Taylor's podcast maybe last month. We were talking about breakups and having to deal with a public breakup and the steps of getting over someone, blah 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 blah. I think I want to ask, and I know obviously all the answers, and I have multiple questions that I'm like, we'll keep it for a private conversation. But I guess people probably want to know, how are you dealing with the aftermath of your public breakup and where your heart and your head is at right now?
Fantastic question, Vanessa.
The best.
Yeah. I mean, how I handle it, like, initially is just a lot of, like, support from friends and family and just kind of, like, getting disconnected a little bit from everything social-wise, a little bit of disconnect from the relationship communication-wise, and, like, really just getting back in touch with your life and the people that you care about. And for me, it's, like, getting back to the things that I'm really passionate about and give me life and give me happiness. And for me, that's like animals and food and
plants.
What's your favorite animal?
Cat.
A what?
A cat.
Oh, a cat. I think you said a tat. I'm like, wait, am I not down with what a tat is? Oh, a cat. Oh,
yeah,
okay.
A cat. I'm like a crazy cat lady at heart.
How many cats do you have?
Right now I have one. I had two. They came together. They were my fosters. Aww. I used to foster a lot. And I did a lot of rescue work when I lived in Baltimore. Aww. So they were my fosters. And then I adopted them, and one of them passed away recently, about the same time as the breakup.
Oh, my God. I'm so sorry.
Pile it on.
Yep.
Seriously.
Yep.
What's your cat's name?
Lily.
Lily. That's such a great name.
Yeah. She came to me with it. And I was like,
all right, Theo.
I know. Rip Theo.
Okay. So what kind of advice would you have for the listeners that are dealing with a breakup themselves? Obviously, it's a little bit different from your situation to the next, just because of obviously the publicity of it, and then the engagement's a little bit more severe than like a boyfriend-girlfriend. But for the listeners out there, because we do often get emails or callers or people like inquiring, like, I just went through this breakup. It's incredibly challenging for me.
Yeah,
and obviously you deal a lot with mental health because that's your interest in what you study in college and what your profession is, all that kind of stuff. So what kind of advice would you have for a listener that's kind of going through a similar situation?
Yeah, first, I would say, like, practice being kind to yourself. Like, self-compassion is something I think everyone struggles with actually implementing, because it's like kind of a weird concept. But really just actually like sitting and like being kind to yourself. So I think you beat yourself up and you second guess so many things about yourself during a breakup. And, you know, you feel sometimes there's like the sense of rejection or a sense of being alone, and you're going to be alone forever. And just kind of giving yourself those like, checking in on that inner talk and like giving yourself reality checks, you know, and being kind to yourself.
Yeah.
I think those are really important things to do.
Was it, so if we rewind a little bit, you were, like I said, you were on Nick's season of The Bachelor, and you were famously known for going on a 2-on-1 with Corinne.
Correct.
So, did you ever talk to Corinne after the show? Did you guys ever become friends? Cause then you went to Paradise and that whole thing happened. I think our listeners would be pretty curious, like, because I feel like we always see like 2-on-1s and people that like appear to hate each other on the show. And did you guys actually hate each other, or were you kind of friendly?
Hate's a pretty strong word.
Do you want to answer?
I don't even, honestly, I don't even know. That's why I'm asking. I don't even.
Yeah, no. I mean, we spoke at Women's Hell All and then didn't see each other or speak to each other again until Paradise.
Yeah.
But
and even that was short lived because
obviously the whole
she
thing.
Was on the beach for 2 days.
Yep.
Yeah. So, I mean, we're not friends.
Oh, okay.
We're not like people that catch up or message each other or have literally any interaction at all.
Do you guys follow each other on Instagram?
I don't believe she follows me, and I don't follow
her. I'll never forget that 2-on-1 date because, man, you guys, yeah, there was a big rivalry there.
I didn't watch it.
Oh my God, you missed out. I was at like a viewing party in Atlanta with all these different Bachelor people. Mm-hmm. And like James Taylor was there and Wells was there. And there was a bunch of us, Jen Savino, Saviano.
Last names are hard.
Good God, I can't pronounce anything. But I just vividly remember that 2-on-1. And then, so then you went to Paradise. And did you know, so you got engaged, not on the show, but you got engaged on the reunion show.
Correct.
Did you see it coming at all?
No.
The engagement. Mm-hmm. Come on. Yes, you did. I remember I was at an event
no,
in Nashville
didn't.
After.
No, she didn't.
Yes, Vanessa. Do you want to bet money on
no,
it?
She didn't. I do want to bet money on
if
it.
If I could see it coming as an outsider, there had to be like a hint, like an inkling inside of you that's like, okay, something big is going to happen here. But let's talk about that for a second, obviously leading up to it beforehand, because we had a unique season of Paradise, obviously with the whole scandal, quote unquote.
Yeah.
With Corinne and DeMario. So I feel like we were kind of working on an abbreviated timeline, but also. Mm-hmm. Because you and Derek kind of hit it off in the beginning, so for the listeners, I guess we had a timeline of we filmed for like 3 days mm-hmm. and then we were all together for like 2 days and then we all left for maybe like a week and a half.
We were there for like 5 days.
5 days total before we left, mm-hmm. right? And then so the interesting, I guess, dynamic with these relationships is for those like for that week and a half, there's like 10 days where a lot of the cast members who had never met each other, like a Taylor and Derek, like a me and Christina, were interacting on a day-to-day basis mm-hmm. off camera, like via text, like phone calls, whatever it is.
Were you guys all hanging out when you guys had to leave the resort and go back to the Vendanta? Were you guys
Yes.
You guys were able to interact?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So you were really developing your mm-hmm. relationship with Derek and you with Christina off camera.
100%.
Mm-hmm. And wow, I still remember, crazy.
I still remember to this day, I was like Ben Zorn and Raven were all like cuddled up next to each other, which is just hilarious to look back and, and look at now.
Crap, that's
I remember
insane.
You and Christina were like sneaking because we weren't supposed to like get out of our hotel rooms.
Yeah, we snuck
I remember
out
you guys
a few
were
times.
Like, there were all these rumors of like, who's sneaking around tonight? Yeah. Like, yeah.
Well, so it was just a weird timeline for us because we kind of had to experience both of obviously being on camera at the beach with each other and then also kind of like real world stuff as well.
Yeah.
But it's still such a quick amount of time. And it's funny because I got dinner with a friend actually not too long ago and she was talking to me. She's like, obviously none of these bachelor relationships work out is because you don't really have enough time to build a friendship with them before you really like dive into a relationship. And so when you look back maybe like on your time on the beach on Paradise, do you think that like the timeline was too quick to get engaged? But you, I mean, maybe because you had a little bit more time with him. Like, what are your thoughts on kind of the timeline from meeting to him bending the knee?
Vanessa?
Repeat the question. What was the timeline between...
Do you think, Vanessa, what are your thoughts about the timeline of getting engaged on the show? Because there are critics, obviously.
I mean, Vanessa was engaged after 3 months.
Exactly. There are critics that say people are getting engaged way too soon. You don't have time to like... Wow. Okay.
There's three single people in one.
It's a little quick. It's a little quick for sure.
Would you, if you could go back and change anything, would you? Anything at all? Even like what you wore at a rose ceremony or something like that?
Yeah.
If I could go back and change things, which I'm a strong believer.
I think we all could say yes to that. You can say yes to that. Derek could say, like, we can all say yes.
Of course. But like, I think the answer is obvious. Yes, we all want to go back and change things, certain things.
Sure.
But also, like, I strongly believe and am happy with, like, how everything has led me to where I am today.
Right.
Kind of thing.
Butterfly effect. You could have changed something small. You could brush your teeth an hour later in the day. And
I would have no idea where I would be at. I'd be a very different person.
Right.
But I think, like, one of the biggest things I've learned that, like, I want to change in my life going forward is I think just, like, understanding and empowering myself to like take more control over the decisions and the things that happen in my life.
Mm-hmm.
If that makes sense.
Well, so what made you kind of have that
and
thought? Was there a specific moment that you're like, okay, like I need to take more control over this? Or was it something like just kind of piled up?
Just like, I think like there's a lot of pressure developing a relationship on the show, mm-hmm. and that things, mm-hmm. you know, move a lot quicker, and, you know, people aren't always necessarily on the same page with things. And I think it's important, like, to not only speak up and like speak your truth, but also like make sure that you're heard, make sure that your voice is heard and that you feel like your voice matters.
Mm-hmm. It's interesting when you say that, because you are a rare exception to the bachelor couple rule, a few exceptions, that you got engaged after spending time off screen with somebody. Mm-hmm. You know, you guys left Paradise, and then so Paradise ended in, or, you know, late June filming, I mm-hmm. believe it was, and then you guys spent a couple months and then went to the reunion mm-hmm. show August, if I had to assume.
About this exact time.
Oh, wow. Year. Holy moly. And so it's interesting that a lot of people don't get that. A lot of people mm-hmm. have the month of filming, and then they're like, okay, we're either going to do this or we're not going to do this. Mm-hmm. So I wonder if you could talk a little bit about that, like leaving, spending some time with mm-hmm. him, and then getting engaged. And then I also had a quick question that I'm completely blanking on, so just go with your discussion on that.
Yeah. I mean, I think it was nice to be able to see each other outside of, you know, Mexico, but it was also like we were both kind of still in weird places in our lives, you know. I was still kind of trying to figure out where I wanted my life to go post my season. And he was still kind of in like a weird what's the word I'm looking for? Like limbo. He was mm-hmm. in a weird limbo state as well. Like we're both kind of in limbo states in our lives.
Which I think a lot of people coming off the show are.
Yes.
In what way? Just like transitioning what locations or just like headspace?
Locations,
or
jobs, you know, just not really kind of knowing what you're going to do and just like kind of staying open to whatever comes up or trying to figure out what you want to pursue. And so, you know, we were both kind of in weird phases like that. And so we would like take trips and, you know, we were like long distance. But you know, then you're kind of like trying to see if you can make things work. Uh-huh. And then it's kind of like, okay, we're really trying.
Well, wasn't there a couple moments where you guys planned on moving to New York together? I mean, like I remember seeing something like that, but I could mm-hmm. be mistaken.
Yeah. So, he accepted a job in Connecticut uh-huh. and
New England.
Yeah. And we discussed like, you know, the potential of me moving there, and it didn't happen. I mean, I spent about like 2 weeks of every month out there. So like I mm-hmm. did a lot of the traveling back and forth because he was getting situated in this new job. And
where were you living at the time?
Seattle.
Okay.
Yeah. And my family. So like the 3 days after the reunion filmed, mm-hmm. my stepdad went into cardiac arrest and like almost like died.
Oh my God.
And mm-hmm. so came back and all this stuff. And so my family was going through like a really weird period of time as well. And he had to have like a whole career change. He was a pilot for like 20 plus years. Mm. And so I really wanted to spend a lot of time in Seattle with my family to make sure that like they were in a good place. My mom's like traumatized by this. You know, she watched her husband die in front of her basically and then come back to life. It's mm-hmm. a roller coaster. And then like my cat Theo was super sick. And so I was like, you know, I want to be here for him. So there were just like a lot of other things going on, and our relationship was still, you know, we were really like working to try to make it work and mm-hmm. see, you know, if this is like something that we're both mutually like really wanting to move forward with, and that's going to bring a lot of like positivity and connection in our lives. And there were a lot of things that like we were different on and in different places in our lives. And you know, he has like such a hard work ethic, and he works so hard, and it's something I really admire about him. But it does make it a little bit more difficult in terms of like balancing your relationships and your mm-hmm. life. And so it was like, you know, I would go to Connecticut and would talk to Vanessa a lot. And just, you know, it was like a little lonely and it's a little different.
Was it mostly you traveling out east? And I feel like he didn't really come out west mm-hmm. often.
Yeah. So it was always me coming, to visit there.
Right.
How many times did you like once a month?
She said, I mean, 2 weeks out of the month, she said.
Yeah, about two and a half weeks out of each month I would be there.
Holy crap.
So I was living out of suitcases long time. That state of limbo just kind of like had continued.
Perpetuating.
Was that your first long distance relationship?
No. So I was in a long distance relationship a few months prior to the show. I think the show had started in August and I got out of that relationship like that December. Uh-huh. And we had started dating in Baltimore, and then I moved to Seattle, and we were long distance for like 4 months.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So
I'd done it before, but it was like a back and forth.
Totally.
I have a question that's kind of off topic, but on topic. So speaking of, since, you know, you were doing long distance, I did long distance with Nick, and then I decided to move out to LA because that's where he was at, and he was reporting dancing mm-hmm. and all that stuff. So I'm not that I love long distance relationships, but I'm not someone who's opposed to long distance relationships. After mm-hmm. how long, guys, after how long do you think is an appropriate amount of time to decide who moves where and who should move where? Like, how do you make that decision? Is it after 3 months of dating that you're like, all right, we have to take this relationship a step further and decide, you know, a permanent spot where we can actually build a solid foundation? Is it after 6 months? Is it after a year?
I feel like
6 months is the cutoff line.
See, I don't feel like you can put any kind of time limit on it, because I think it really depends upon what the connection is
You know that. You know I'm very black and white.
I know. We're working on having, like, getting comfortable with this gray area and not necessarily knowing everything that's going to happen.
Life happens in the gray area.
It does. That's where all the magic happens, too. I think it's really depend. Like, I think there needs to be a lot of communication about it. Because you want to make sure that you guys are both on the same page.
Well, and there needs to be progress being made towards that, too. Mm-hmm. It's like, I mean, long-distance relationships, some people can do them. Some people definitely can't. I would say majority can't do them. So it's like, if...
You don't like them, right?
I'm very anti-long-distance.
I'm anti-long-distance, too.
Yeah.
But, like, I hate to say it, but it's like, if you... I mean, you're in a relationship with Derek for almost a year, like 9 months, 10 months, mm-hmm. whatever it is. And there was never the moment. Well, there was. There was maybe conversations that you guys were going to live together and all that kind of stuff. But I don't know. Like, what? Like, that just, it's such a strain on the relationship, you know?
Yeah. And for me, I mean, honestly, I didn't feel like, you know, okay, we needed to move towards moving in with each other. I know that's more so where he was at. Like, mm-hmm. he really wanted me to be there. It was, again, like I said, he was working all the time. And so, like, his community was really just work. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I think it's, like, a little lonely out there. And so it meant a lot to him when mm-hmm. I was out there visiting. But to me, it wasn't like we need to move in with each other. You know, for me, it would have made a big difference, like, if he had came, if there had been more of a back and forth, like, if he had seen more of me in Seattle and in my home and in my community, mm-hmm. which, like, he got to see a little bit post-show, but it's, you know, all that stuff was happening with my family mm-hmm. and with my cat. And, like, it's, again, post-show, you're kind of trying to, like, decompress and, like, get back into, like, what your life is going to be and how it's going to be. And, like, for me, that's like, okay, you're getting to know me again and mm-hmm. you care about, like, who I am and what's important to me.
Right. So. That makes sense. Mm-hmm. Well, so... I mean, I obviously, I know it's not the easiest thing to talk about in the world. And I've definitely, like, we've all had to go through these moments where it's like you kind of talk about these breakups. Was there, like, maybe a moment that you guys were together where you were like, okay, wait, maybe something's misfiring here and it doesn't necessarily feel like it should be working as easy as it should? Is it something that you are willing to talk about? Like, because there's always, like, it's always hard to define it as one moment. Like, this is the moment where things started to go awry a mm-hmm. little bit. But, like, is there a point
Can
where
I
you...
say something?
Yeah.
Thank you.
Okay. Well, I'm going to take the pressure off of Taylor and I'll put it on to me right now. I feel...
What a great friend.
I remember... Right? So I'm very candid about, you know, Nick and I having gone through couples therapy, and I think it's something most couples should do. I only started
most
doing
individuals should.
Once. Yeah. But I'm saying I only started doing therapy once I was on The Bachelor, and I realized just how great it is to express... I'm not a writer. I don't like writing things down, so... I like talking about it, but every now and then when you talk to the same sister or the same friend, you know, you're getting the same piece of advice, mm-hmm. but it was just so nice to hear from a third party. And then we did couple therapy, and I remember the therapist asking us, go back in time, and I want you guys to think about this too, maybe practice this with, like, your significant other. Go back and think of, when was the last time you truly felt connected to your partner? Think about it and let me know. So I'm like, all right. So I thought about it. I'm like, I got it. The last time I felt was blah, 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 blah. And Nick didn't remember that moment in time where I felt so in love with him. So, and he mentioned one part in our relationship where he's like, this is where I felt the most connected to. And I'm like, I don't remember that part. And it made me so sad. And that's when we realized we don't value the same sort of...
Right.
I can't put my words together. But
moments together. Like,
well, that you guys weren't actually connecting with each other.
Yeah.
We were connecting. Well, we were connecting with maybe like the idea of, like, not even the idea. That's not even true, because I was in love with him and I did love him and I still care about him, you know, but I, it was we didn't share the same type of connection.
Right. It's the moment.
And I'm like, well, if you're not going to value just holding my hand walking in the street.
Well, it's interesting.
That's an example. That wasn't my example, but I think that's when I started realizing.
It's interesting, like you said, Vanessa, that you were in love with Nick and he was in love with you. You guys develop feelings on the show. Everybody does. And then I remember a couple once said this when they got off the show. Yes, we're in love with each other. But honestly, it felt like that's when we started dating, which is so crazy.
Oh, yeah,
do you agree
with
that, Taylor? Like you went on the show, you got engaged with Derek. Did it feel like after you guys left was like, yeah, we're in love with each other, but now it feels like we just started dating?
Yes.
Is that, but no, like a lot of bachelor couples say that. I think even Sean and Catherine said that at one time where Sean was like, yeah, I'm in love with Catherine, but it feels like it's just like even, now the relationship starts.
Even throughout our whole relationship, it still kind of felt like we were waiting to reach that point of like, okay, can we start dating? Because it still didn't even really feel like we were dating. And that was one thing. I mean, I went back basically during the breakup or right after it was announced, I had gone back and rewatched this interview that we did together with, I think it was like Access Hollywood or something. It was, and she was asking us all these questions about like, so like, are you guys going to move in with each other? Like, what are you guys going to do? And we were so on different pages. And I was like, yeah, you know, like I want to go really slow and like I want to have my place and I want my man to have his place and I want to like go over to my man's place, you know, and like have those weekends and like keep the romance alive, develop the romance even, and like just date each other. And even doing long distance basically right off the bat, like we didn't really actually have that opportunity to like do that kind of dating.
Yeah,
and
you,
so
you couldn't
that
call him and be like, hey, why don't you come over tonight and we'll watch a movie?
Yeah,
it's like he's, you know, 2,000 miles away.
Yep.
3,500 miles away.
Yeah,
a little bit more maybe. Yeah, Seattle, New York. I guess it's a little bit more than 2,000.
Very far.
I've always found that very interesting because a lot of people, you know, they criticize the show a little bit. I'm like, no, the feelings are very real. But, you know, when you get off the show, that's when the dating really starts. And I always feel grateful for the fact that Ashley and I kind of went through that a little bit before we ended up together, because we did have that opportunity to just like hang out and go over each other's houses and create a friendship and then turn it into a relationship. And so it's very interesting. But you know, Taylor, you're a wonderful champ for coming in and talking and opening yourself up about everything. It's not easy. You know, we've all been there where we've had to talk about tough times.
We're not done talking about this, are we?
No, not at all. But I figured I'd transition a little bit to maybe a little bit easier conversation than having to talk about it.
I also wanted to add, I think it's important, and I said this, I keep saying this, it's important to, no matter what you went through in your relationship, good, bad, ugly, sad, I think it's important to always talk highly of the person that you were once with.
And, well, not, you know, hopefully not even just talk highly, but hopefully like actually feel that. Like you have to be able to see that in your partner.
It's easy to just sometimes be so angry and upset and be in that dark space and you just want to like, you know, throw that person under the bus, or because something that you feel like they did to you, or something that you interpreted or whatever it is. And I think it's important that to, like you said, like to just believe it, but also to say it out loud.
And
I think Taylor's doing a great job at that.
Thank you. Yeah, that's something like we talked about a little bit on the episode of my pod that you came on, talking about breakup, where like throughout my breakup, especially, you know, leading up to when we were going to publicly announce, and even when privately it was happening, I'm just trying to like really focus on like the positive of our relationship and the positives of who he is and like the things that I really admired about him and the things that, you know, we shared together that we enjoyed. And it's weird talking about, you know, like the actual dating aspect of it, because even there were like, there's different layers to the relationship that you develop. Like on Paradise, our relationship was very different. And like the feelings that I had for him on Paradise were very different than the feelings I had for him in real life. And like parts of me didn't really feel this strong sense of like being in love with him until way after that, until way after even the proposal even. So like, for me, it's like, looking back at all these different stages of our relationship and like really trying to remember all of those positive things, because it's like you can get so wrapped up in the negative and in why this isn't working out and how your heart hurts. And so you want to like make sense of why this is a good decision for you. So you focus on the negative of like, this is why, like, this is why this isn't a good idea. But it's like, No, like that's someone you shared a lot of things with, and you know, you shared your heart with, you shared your soul, and you shared your family and your life. And you know, I think it's important to like continue to try to nurture that.
So when you guys broke up, you said you broke up privately, obviously, and then the public kind of announcement happened.
Mm-hmm.
Tough question here. Who initiated that first conversation of you guys separating privately?
Of us separating privately?
Like when you, like who initiated the first conversations? Like, hey, maybe we should consider breaking up.
I'm going to say it was both. However, he was more, there were two trips that I had taken out to see him in Connecticut. And he more took the initiative of saying like, you know, I don't think this is right anymore. And I was on the same page, but I was too scared.
Yeah. Mm.
And I didn't want to let it go. And I'm someone that like really tries and wants to, you know, well, let's try this. Let's try this. Let's do this. Because I try to see where like, no, it could work. Like if maybe we just try these things.
I bet it was almost a sense of relief when you heard that. Not in a bad way. That's, so I don't mean that in a negative
time. The third time. So after that second time that I was talking about, I left and we were basically like taking space. We were basically like on a break kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And then I went back, and in that trip, it got brought up again, and I didn't fight it. And I was just like, let it flow. Like, this is where it's going. Like, this is where you've wanted it to go. Mm-hmm. You just like don't know what's going to happen afterwards. And that part's like really scary. So I was just like, be present, let it be. This is where it's going to go. And like went with it. And then afterwards, it was such this sense of relief and like a weird sense of like freedom almost. And, you know, it was very connecting for us even. Mm-hmm. Like, I think we connected in a very strong way before I left that trip, because we did take a second like to look back at our relationship and like where the positives were and where we did connect. And so there were, I think, some blurred lines there, but it was for me like a very good sense of like closure of like, this isn't right. And we wish that it could have been different, but like I'll always have love for you.
Of course. Mm-hmm. No, I think that's,
don't you think it's kind of silly too, how there's so much outside pressure to like, you almost like feel like you're letting other people down.
It is. Yeah. There's so many layers to the breakup, and that's where like this has been such a different breakup than any breakup I've ever had in my entire life.
And that's what people can't understand, is that there is an outside influence, and you try not to let it affect your relationship either positively or negatively. Mm-hmm. But the fact of the matter, it does.
Yeah, it's this whole other part of your identity that like impacts your day-to-day life.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people will say, well, that's what you signed up for. And it's like, yes, but at the end of the day, did I think I was going to get engaged on this show? Of course I didn't.
And also, just because that's what you sign up for doesn't mean that it can't also be difficult to experience.
Exactly. Exactly. Right.
And I think it's also people get have a perception of who you are based of how you're perceived on the show. Mm-hmm. And so they have this idea of you, and if they like you, then they'll support you through the relationship and through the breakup. If they don't like you, then you'll get the backlash. And you'll be the one to blame for the relationship not working out, you know? It's like, it's never, I was asked this when I did the interview for Becca and Garrett got engaged. And I'm like, I said this in the last interview, when was it, the AFR, that if you choose door, in this industry, if you choose door A, you'll piss people off. If you choose door B, you'll still piss people off. If you, and not only in this industry, in this life, you know, people will always have an opinion. And so choose the path that will make you the happiest, no matter what people's opinions are going to be of you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, no, I agree. You have to do what's best for you and try to block out all the noise, because if you listen to everybody's opinion, you're just going to tear yourself apart and make matters worse for yourself.
Mm-hmm.
So Taylor, obviously going through a breakup, there's a lot of people, listeners, like we talked about, that are going through breakups, and we talked a little bit about advice that you can give them. But if you could say one thing to anybody going through a breakup right now that's dealing with heartache or confusion, one piece of advice that you've really taken from your experience throughout this, what would it be?
It's okay to not be okay. And let yourself be not okay.
Mm-hmm. Feel.
Like, I always say, like, feel all the feelings.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's easy to distract yourself and, you know, jump from one thing to the next, or to just be a busy bee and distract yourself from feeling those painful feelings. But my biggest piece of advice going through a breakup, you got to be in it.
Mm-hmm.
It's uncomfortable, but like, let yourself feel that heartache and you'll move through it. Like, you don't have to project this highlight reel onto social media that you're, you know, doing totally fine and awesome and not fazed by life at all. You know, it's okay to like show that vulnerable side of you and, you know, say that like, yeah, I am struggling right now because this hurts.
Yeah. It's so funny that you mentioned social media because there's literally a book right in front of Dean and myself that says how to be as happy as you look on social media. So maybe we should all read that copy.
Amazing.
So Taylor, tell us what you're up to right now. Are you still in Seattle?
Yeah. So I'm still in Seattle.
Are you a Seahawks fan?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm a diehard Patriots fan.
I wouldn't have guessed.
I know. Obviously from New England. I love the Seahawks, though. I've always loved Russell Wilson.
Yeah.
So I know your defense is falling apart a little bit, but we don't have to talk about that right now. So tell us about what else you're up to. You have your podcast. What's going on with that?
Yeah. So I have the podcast, recording with some people here in LA now. I was telling Dean on the way here that in Seattle, I have my first apartment that's just my apartment.
Oh, wow.
Like no roommates, no like boyfriend. That's just 100% just me
you,
for the first
you
time.
And Lily.
Me and Lil.
Yeah.
And all my plants.
And,
and it's really great. And it feels like really good to like be back in touch, especially after everything with the show. You know, there's this whole like limbo state. And honestly, am I allowed to swear on here?
Yeah, we'll
bleep
it
swear
up.
It, swear
okay,
away.
Yeah. The show really f***s you up.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
It really f***s me up. And I got real disconnected from like who I was. And I was shook after that first experience. So it feels so nice to like just feel like Taylor again and to feel like
restore some normalcy to your life.
Yeah. It feels really good.
Do you and Derek still have any line of communication at all? Do you guys talk? I know you keep staring daggers at me every single time.
We got to ask the hard questions.
I'm just curious. Jared wants to talk about football. I want to talk about your last relationship.
Exactly. We got to ask the hard questions. Is Russell Wilson better than Aaron Rodgers? No.
It's exclusive to text and it's very short. I still have stuff in Connecticut that I'm trying to get back. There's.
But you're friendly. All right, never mind.
I try to be friendly. And then there's also times where like I feel like no, I have to like assert myself and be like, no, that's not a.
Like what?
I think every couple goes through.
Give us a for instance. Like what?
I think this is the hardest thing, actually, is that everyone handles breakups differently.
Of course.
And like, I'm someone that wants to still depart connected. And a lot of people need that like disconnect, like that just cold,
sure.
the
clean cut.
Clean cut, yep. Yes.
Yeah.
Cold cuts too are fantastic.
I mean, yeah, Dean and Jared just block people.
Yeah.
What was it just, Dean?
I don't block people, but I advocate if you need to.
Yeah, and like I understand people like know your boundaries. And like for me, I still feel like most of my exes I'm close with, one of them I just spoke to 2 days ago and, you know, he was like the longest relationship I ever had and we lived together and...
Was it Nick? No. God, I'm kidding. Come on. That was a joke. Hey, we're all friends here.
Funny guy.
Shooting guns in here. Here we go. There it is. I was waiting for it. I'm sorry. Continue.
Yeah. Well, no. So, I mean, it's just I still want to feel connected and want to leave it at least on a friendly, you know, like I talked to his mom and his sister and I'm like close with them and I think they're wonderful people. You know, I don't think he prefers to not speak at all. He definitely prefers to have no contact. And I respect that, aside from like, I just want to get my stuff.
Of course, it's your stuff, so you deserve that.
Logistical things can be difficult to figure out when you don't.
All right, before we move on to
CDs back,
before we move on to the final segment, which is emails, one final question for you. Mm-hmm. Everyone's dying to know, will we ever see you on Paradise again?
I doubt it.
Okay. That's not a no.
That's not a no.
I doubt it. I highly doubt it.
Well, you never know where you're going to be in a year from now.
Yeah, I don't. And, you know, I don't ever want to, like, close myself off or put myself like in a box, you know, it's definitely an interesting experience.
Totally.
And if the time is right in my life, then maybe it's something I'd be open to. But, yeah. You know, if it was like tomorrow, I'd be like, no.
Well, six or seven months, I'd be shocked if you're not getting a phone call from somebody.
On our drive over here, it was funny enough because Taylor and I were just talking, discussing our time on Paradise, actually like the early days of it as mm-hmm. well. And how we both kind of like sat down. We were like talking to each other near the pool or whatever. And how I was like giving her advice on her relationship with Derek, and she was giving me advice on my relationship with Christina. And it's just funny, like, look back on that moment and be like, I don't know. We didn't really know what the heck we were talking about.
No.
But if you go back to Paradise a second time, I mean, I don't know if anyone in this room can attest to going to Paradise twice, but I'm sure you go in with like a, maybe a newer, like mm-hmm. amount of knowledge mm-hmm. going into it.
Me?
I don't.
Oh yeah.
Oh, you went to Paradise twice. Oh, I totally forgot about that.
Oh, of course you go into, it's probably very similar to your experience going to Winter Games where you're just a little bit more aware, mm-hmm. you know, you kind of know what you're going in for, you know, where you're walking into. The first time you go to Paradise, it's just like, you know, unicorns and rainbows. You're like, oh my God, mm-hmm. it's like Christmas morning.
Yeah.
And then I think when you go back for a second time, maybe specifically to Paradise, you're just a little bit more aware of your surroundings. Mm-hmm. So yeah. That'd be the only difference, really.
Let's move on to emails.
Let's do emails.
Cool. Who wants Erica. To read America? Our girl.
Erica.
Where's Mark been?
Ooh, Mark's...
I mean, we love you, obviously.
Yeah, whoa.
But...
Oh, come on.
Mark was placed on this earth to read emails
yeah,
over a podcast.
Yeah, that's true. He decided not to be placed on this earth for that reason. I don't know.
He's
going to
get a very upset text
vacation
me.
And things.
He's got a great voice.
Oh yeah,
I really.
I'm chopped liver.
He should
here.
Do audiobooks. That's what he should
yeah.
do.
Yeah,
Erica, I love you.
Thanks, Vanessa.
Well, we all love you.
I know. I mean, duh. Okay. Anyway, this first email is actually really interesting, so I'm excited about it. It's from an anonymous sender.
Always the best.
God,
dear...
anonymous emails us every week. This poor person.
I know. Gosh, they sent us another one later. But dear Dean, Jared, and Vanessa, and Taylor. Nice. I'm just an average 23-year-old guy from Texas with some not-so-average dating issues. I recently started talking to this girl. She's pretty. She gets along with all my friends. It's great. I'm picky with relationships, but she checks just about everything off the list. We've been talking for a month and see each other quite often. I'm planning on making things official, but there's something I've been tiptoeing around and haven't told her yet. About 2 years ago, I was talking to a guy who I met Ooh. At the gym. We fooled around a couple times and would hang out on occasion just to test the waters and see how it goes.
Interesting.
This only lasted 2 months or so, and I didn't share it with anyone. I decided to end things, but I've run into him at the gym every once in a blue moon throughout the years. We'll talk for maybe 5 minutes, then go our separate ways. My question is, should I even tell her about this guy? If so, how? Is this something I should have shared from early on? Help! I don't want to screw this one up. She's perfect.
Man, that is a toughie.
It's loaded.
There's like a lot of, I think, like shaming going on internally with
oh,
him.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like the fact that he feels like this is something that he has to inform her of as if it's like this baggage, that it's this like big red flag for him.
Yeah.
Like it's but, okay
well,
that
society,
you did that.
Society kind of has to make mm-hmm. him feel that way, which is certainly a bummer.
Totally.
I don't think it's really something that he should share unless it specifically gets brought up in some sort of way.
Yeah, if it naturally flows with the conversation mm-hmm. and you can be like, yeah, this was my experience and this was, you know, what I liked, this is what I didn't like, this is what I learned, then absolutely you should feel you know, empowered and confident to share that as you would with if it were a woman that you had had an experience with.
Totally. I also think they've only been talking for a month and they're not even official yet. So is it really something that needs to be brought up at this moment? It seems kind
no.
of premature.
He's almost like suggesting it as like, this might be a deal breaker for her.
Yeah.
So let me let her know ahead of time.
Well,
but like, no.
I think the only question
well, there's
is
his answer. If that's a deal breaker, then he shouldn't be with her.
Yeah.
You know,
I think the only question I would have
he
is
should accept him for who he is.
Yeah. Is he bisexual? I think that would be a conversation
like,
to be had.
Like, does he still think about guys?
Yeah, is he, like, yeah. sexually attracted to
yeah.
guys, or was it one thing? Because that should be a conversation you have with your significant
right.
other, obviously. But that's something
But
different.
It sounds
yeah.
like he hasn't talked to anyone about this.
Yeah.
So I would say do some, like, internal reflecting
yeah.
on some of that. And talk to someone before you talk to her about it.
I agree.
Like, find someone else, a friend, a family member, whoever, who you trust and who you feel comfortable with. And, like, share and process this experience with them and get a little comfortable talking about it.
Exactly.
You know?
Figure it out on your own before you bring it up with somebody else.
Fair. Yeah.
Yeah. Good advice.
You have very good advice. We should have you here all the time.
Yes.
Usually it's like all of us. Like, I don't know.
I don't know what the hell to do.
Okay. Do we feel ready for the next one then?
Oh, we're ready.
Yes.
Great. This one is titled, Do I Tell Him I've Been in Love with Him? And it's from Emma. Hi, Dean, Jared, and Vanessa, and Taylor. I'm 21 years old and have an issue. I basically grew up with this guy. We briefly dated in middle school and early high school. He's a year older than me. We were very close, and I'd consider him my first love, even though we were never super serious because of our age at the time. He's now graduated, and I'm heading into my senior year of college. But while he was in college, he got a new girlfriend who's my age, and they've been dating for over a year. I'm happy for him, and they seem to be serious, but every now and then we're in contact in subtle ways. Snapchats, happy birthday texts, commenting on relatable stuff, etc. I know in my heart I will always love him and could even see a future with him. I really think he should know this, but I don't want to be a homewrecker and step on toes in their relationship. Oh, God.
I mean, this one is obviously a tough one. I think, listen, Emma, if you have feelings for this guy that's in a relationship and a very serious one, then you should not talk to him. Because he probably doesn't feel the same way back, and he thinks that he's just staying friendly with you.
If is he sending mixed signals, or is he leading her on? Which one?
I think neither.
He's doing nothing.
Yeah, I don't think he's doing it. If it's literally like happy birthday text and like commenting on relatable stuff.
That's kind of...
It's not the best, but it's really not any type of red flag either.
Well, this is circling back to my first comment. She has an idea of him and what her perception of dating is and the signs that she deems as, oh my God, he's listening.
Yeah.
So if that's what she thinks as, you know, the signs are, then that's what she's going to believe. But he's probably just like, yeah, what do you mean? Or just friends. Or just want to send you a happy birthday text message. Or a Christmas text message. Like,
I think she also, it sounds like, Emma, you have a little bit of like a story built up about your guys' relationship, and that maybe it's more of the story that you're in love with of, you know, he's going to be in this relationship and we've dated throughout middle school and all this stuff. And, you know, that then eventually it's going to be the two of you, and he could feel similarly, but he needs to like work it out throughout his life and come to that on his own as well. And if he's in the relationship that he's in now, and if you really, you know, truly have love for him, then give him the freedom and the space to experience that. And I think there was another point that I wanted to say.
I was going to say, it sounds like my best friend's wedding. That's exactly what it sounds like to me. Like, she's being the friend that she's actually in love with this guy when he's dating someone else, and she just withholds it for her entire life while still being like the friend and staying there. I mean, at some point, it's got to go in one of two directions.
Yeah. My other thought was like, think about why you would want to tell him. And it's my guess, because from similar situations with friends that I've experienced, that like you're almost kind of searching for this sense of like validation that he also feels the same way, and like yearning for that connection. And so I would like ask yourself, like, well, why would I tell him? Like, it would bring more.
What purpose does it serve?
Yeah, exactly. Like, if he's already in this place, like, let him be in that place. And if it's supposed to work out, you know, then hopefully it will one day.
But also, to use some buzzwords that we've used on this podcast before, it sounds like if she really has these feelings for him, it could almost be beneficial to put them out on the table. And then that way she can be like, look, I feel this way for you. And because of that, I can't receive Snapchats from you anymore. I can't get birthday wishes from you anymore. Like breadcrumbing, benching, whatever the heck it is. So I think that I think it would be important and beneficial maybe to put it out there and just kind of sever ties if that's what it would
be
necessary for
you. Is it better? Oh, go.
I was just going to say, I think there's a way you could go about it. And I think just coming out and being like, hey, I'm in love with you. Wouldn't be the best. But I think if you like started a conversation of like, hey, you know, like I was just curious and like thinking back to, you know, back to middle school or back to high school, whatever. And, you know, I'm really happy for you that you're in this relationship. And I'm just curious, like, if you've ever like had feelings for me in the, you know, recent past, or like if you've ever thought about that, like
he's gonna say yes, guaranteed.
I just can't help but think of also the girlfriend in this situation and how unfair
that's
it would
what
be
I was
to
thinking.
Her. Yeah. Where I think it might be best just to sever ties with him. And like if it comes to a point where you don't talk to him for 6 months and he's just losing his mind because he can't live without you, that's obviously a big sign.
Right.
But if you sever ties, you guys never talk again, then obviously it wasn't meant to be. So,
or what if she breaks them up, they get together, and then they break up? That'd be
the worst.
That'd be pretty bad.
That's the worst case scenario.
Everyone loses.
Thank you for filling the air with negativity.
But I guess, well, then Emma would get some clarity and be like, okay, I guess it wasn't my person. I don't know. No, Emma kind of wins in that situation a little bit.
Everybody wins?
Emma wins in that situation.
Oh.
Because then she has peace of mind and clarity of mind, knowing like, okay, we tried it. It didn't work out. Sorry about that.
It all worked out for everybody. Yeah. I don't know. That's tough. Yeah, I think just sever ties.
I don't think you need to be with anyone you dated in middle school, personally. I mean, sometimes, okay.
Do you have, like, a bad experience?
No,
but
I just am,
she's 21.
Middle school was a long time ago.
It's part of the story, and I think we, like, romanticize that a little bit.
Totally.
Like,
Corey and Topanga.
Yeah. We all want to be them, but...
Exactly.
Yeah.
Okay.
I keep saying this, and every time we get an email from a younger listener, I'm like, just date. You know?
Oh, yeah.
When I thought I wasn't...
Remember when we had my middle school girlfriend on the podcast as a guest?
Carmel?
No, she was my high school girlfriend.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry,
wait,
Carmel?
Carmel?
I dated a girl named Carmel. It wasn't that weird.
It is weird.
I don't think I've ever met anyone with a name Carmel. That's so interesting.
Her sister's name was River. They were an interesting family. But I was going to say, we had my middle school girlfriend from 5th and 6th grade, Zoe.
Oh, yeah.
I would never date her again. Not because she's not a great girl.
You're just different people.
We've grown apart, you know?
Yeah.
See, I don't know. I would maybe date my first kiss.
Oh.
Who is it?
I would not.
We need to get this guy on the podcast right now.
No, just like, he's like a really like great guy. I'm like, I'm proud that you were my first kiss. Like, I'm like proud of like who you are. Like, I'm glad.
That's,
that's really sweet.
I hope he's listening.
Have you introduced yourself into the dating world?
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Good to know.
Yeah, there it is.
Good.
It's weird to be single.
I'm sure Vanessa's an advocate for that. Like she says, you know, you need a date to be able to move on and get past and all that kind of stuff. So.
Well, and I think like for me, it's not
that.
Even like
oh, I never
date.
Said that date.
Yeah. You like just said it 5 minutes ago. You're like I always say, just
no,
date.
Taylor's
what, 24?
25. Yeah. But no, I think like for me, I learn a lot about myself through other people and through my interactions with people. Like when I'm on a date, like I'm reflecting on like who this person is. What are they bringing out in me? What are they projecting onto me? How am I seeing myself through who they see me as? Like I'm doing all of this like internal work while also balancing like being present.
Totally.
But you learn so much like when you're actively engaged in dating, you can learn so much about yourself and like and something that's like a little uncomfortable because you're putting yourself out there, you're being vulnerable, but it's also can be really exciting, like to lean into. So,
and as long as you're not on TV doing it,
you stole the words right out of my mouth. I was like, so you're saying the best atmosphere for you would be paradise?
Well, and that's the thing. Like, I was talking actually, like shortly after the announcement, Demo DeMario had sent me just like the sweetest voice message and literally had me crying, and he was just like, you know, Tay, like when you were on the beach, like let me tell you, like every guy there like was interested in you, and like you are such an amazing, incredible woman, like, and was just really the best like hype man I've ever had.
That's
and
awesome.
Was just so supportive of like, go out there, like you are so wonderful and you bring so much to the table. And
so you guys had a Demo and a D-Lo on Paradise last year?
And a Dino.
And a Dino. Got Dino, D-Lo, and Demo. That would be a great love triangle. So what's next? What other emails?
One more email.
Also from Anonymous. And this is called a Jared and Ashley situation.
Interesting.
Hi, Dean, Vanessa, and Jared and Taylor. I'm coming at you with a situation that's similar to Jared and Ashley's, minus the whole TV show aspect, of course. In high school, I worked with this guy for 2 years, and we've always had an awkward but good chemistry and have been good friends. Our coworkers would make comments to us about liking each other, and we went on one date. It was good, but we both had to go separate ways pretty soon after when we started college. I still have feelings for him and care about him, but it's never held me back from seeing other people. Fast forward to a couple months ago, we had a work party that we both attended, and we ended up hooking up. We still talk sometimes, but I think he may be back with his girlfriend now. It's always so natural when we talk, and I feel like there's still some potential there worth pursuing. I really care about him and think there's something, but I want to know if I'm holding on to something that doesn't even exist. What would you guys do in this situation? Help, I suck at dating.
Move on. Start dating other people.
Yes, I agree. I also want to preface this. I don't think that's similar to mine and Ashley's situation.
I think in her mind, it was like long time coming thing.
That could make sense.
Yeah.
So you guys hooked up only a couple months ago, and now he might be dating his ex-girlfriend?
She's reading so much into it. She's just clinging on to something that's not really there.
I agree.
It's not even this isn't even a hard one.
I know.
Anonymous, you just need to forget about it.
Yeah, I think you got to move on from this guy. It was a one-time thing, it sounds like.
See, I'm like, are we sure he's back with his girlfriend?
I think that if the universe is meant to bring them together, it will.
But it did at this work party
if it's meant to bring them back together, it will. But clearly, something's not clicking. And because of that, she just needs to freaking move on to the next thing. Just because it feels raw and real and right doesn't mean that you're not going to get that feeling and experience with someone else tomorrow.
I mean, listen, you guys did the universe brought you back together when you guys hooked up. And
Jared, stop giving her false hope.
No, what I'm saying
is
nothing.
And then it separated you again.
Okay. Keep doing what you're saying. Keep saying what you're saying.
Keep going, Jared. And so I think at this point, yeah, it's probably best if you move on and not think about this guy and not stalk, you know? Because obviously, if you think he's back with his ex-girlfriend, you might be looking on his Instagram a little bit.
That's true.
You
know, and it's funny, too, in these situations when we know so little about someone that we're interested in, we're able to fill in the gaps and, like, the holes of who we think they are and who we want them to be. And, like, all we do is build them up. And they're like, oh, this guy's this, and this. And, like, the more you get to know them, the more they fill it in themselves and the less interested you become.
Totally.
Yeah. Just move on.
Dean, you shouldn't.
Oh, nice. Good one.
What the hell?
Pac-Man.
What?
Interesting. All right. Anyways, that'll do it for this episode of Help. I Suck at Dating on that note. Big thank you to Lionel Richie for just the stud in Las Vegas. Be sure to check him out.
All the hits, Las Vegas residency. Will be there in October, but he has tickets for August and October available. Go check him out.
We're going to have to go check him out. Big thank you to Taylor Nolan for being in studio with us today.
Yeah, no, thank you so much for coming in and really opening up.
Be sure to check out her podcast. Let's talk about it. She's probably going to have some pretty great guests here pretty soon. You know, she's in LA. She's got a lot of friends that live here. And
you're going to come on.
Oh, I'm going to be on.
Yeah. I was wondering where this is going.
Be sure to check it out.
Yep.
And obviously, always thank you to Easton and Erica and Vanessa for calling in. You're in New York right now, Vanessa, right?
Hey. Mm-hmm. I'm in New York, yeah.
Well, have fun out there. We hope to see you in studio pretty soon. And thank you, everyone, for listening to this week's episode of Help I Suck at Dating. Maybe next week we'll suck a little bit less.
Follow Help I Suck at Dating with Dean, Vanessa, and Jared on iHeartRadio or wherever you listen to podcasts.